This is Bulldog Live on The Pulse. To get in touch about the news of the day, call 866-823-1077. Now, here's Brian Tilton and Bulldog Live.
A little unconventional opening here for Bulldog Live, but you know, it's for a good reason too, I'll tell you. Yeah, I've talked about issues in Cuba quite often on the show, particularly as it relates to the dictatorship inside of Cuba. But I also talk about what once was in Cuba before Fidel Castro took over. And you know, I love history, and there's portions of the history that I didn't even know until I read a story recently about a former Plymouth State University professor who's coming out with a new book, or his new book is out, and he will be doing a book signing and a talk tomorrow at Plymouth State University at the Lampson Library, and we'll give you some of those details here momentarily. The history professor wrote a book called Cuba 1952 to 1959, The True Story of Castro's Rise to Power. And there's a very close personal connection to this that Manuel Marquez Sterling is going to tell us about here on Bulldog Live. How are you today?
I'm fine. Isn't a great day today?
It is beautiful. It started off a little chilly, but warmed right up. But it's good fall weather. I love it.
I love it, too.
Good. Now, you have a special event coming up tomorrow at Plymouth State regarding your book. And
yes.
Let's tell people what's going on and what your book is about.
Okay. Book is about those seven dramatic years from 52 to 59. In which the fate of Cuba was decided right there. 50 years have gone by under a horrendous tyranny. And what I present in my book is that Americans really don't know what happened in those 7 years. They have very poor concept, as well as many Cubans, I have to say that. So that's what the book is all about.
Yeah, well, during those 7 years, that was when Batista was in charge, right?
Yes, correct.
And a lot of Americans know Batista as ruling with an iron fist. There was a lot of corruption and the like. And you know, I guess that perception of history is accurate?
Well, no, it is not. In fact, that's part of the book. I have to say beforehand that my family opposed Batista all the way through those 7 years. But what Americans have of the picture of Batista is what I call the comic book classics. You know, a terrible dictator, a right-wing dictator, all of that is wrong. He was a dictator, but he was a very pro-poor people, pro-labor. Was one of the presidents of Cuba, built more schools and more roads and aqueducts and so on. So, in fact, we thought when he was a president that he was a little bit, you know, too much to the left.
Hmm.
So that is a picture that people here don't know, because they were presented with a false fact. I have in my book, I quoted, there is a Cuban writer who has defined Batista as a part-time dictator with a democratic complex. So...
Hmm. Now, what's really interesting is during this time period, and Fidel Castro is in the woods getting ready for his takeover,
mm-hmm.
and there were going to be elections in 1958, and this is where your comes
correct,
really close
correct.
For you.
Americans also were told the idea through the American mainstream media of those years, New York Times, et cetera, et cetera, that there were only two positions in Cuba, Batista versus Castro. That is totally wrong. There was a third middle position that wanted to solve the impasse, the political impasse, that Batista coup in 52 created, and that group wanted a constitutional electoral solution. And so they went to the elections of 58, and my dad, who was a candidate for, and the leader of that position, actually won the elections. and then Batista stole the elections. I have to say that, Brian, very recently, about a week ago, and I was able to include it in my book, a week ago, the Batista army chief, in his memoirs, said that indeed the elections were stolen, and had they recognized the victory of my dad, the history of Cuba today will be completely different.
Which a lot of people don't understand, Dr. Sterling, that the history of Cuba prior to Fidel Castro, Cuba had a very vibrant economy. It had a great way of life. I mean, it was really close behind the United States, which is why the United States had such a great relationship with Cuba at the time, with tourism and the like.
Absolutely. Cuba, a part of the first chapter of my book with statistics called from many, many different sources, prove that, that, and we knew that, prove that Cuba was a one of the, I would say, put on top of the three most advanced countries in all Latin America with a vibrant middle class, and that we were, this is what I studied when I went to school, we were on the lane, on the fast lane to become a first world country, you know, with all mm-hmm. the characteristics of education, development, and so on. That is another of the great lies that had been created about Cuba. And you know why, Brian? Because then it would justify painting Cuba as a destitute, poor, ignorant country, justify whatever Castro did in Cuba. So he could kill, he could confiscate, he could do all of those things, because after all, those guys were starving and so on.
Well, before Castro's takeover, there was a vibrant free press in Cuba, too.
Absolutely, and even during the dictatorship of Batista from 52 to 58, we could write and we could read everything that we wanted in the papers. Fidel Castro made his revolution using some of the national magazines in Cuba. Everything was published there.
Now, Dr. Manuel Marquez Sterling, former history professor at Plymouth State University. Actually, it's Professor Emeritus, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How many years did you teach at Plymouth State?
I taught at Plymouth State 33 years and five somewhere else, history.
Wow.
But let me tell you this, Brian. This is another thing. When I came to this country in 1960, persecuted by the new regime, and I began to hear and read about Cuba, I said, this is not the country I was born in. This is not the real Cuba. What's going on here?
Oh my. Now, when you first came to this country, where did you end up? Where did you start off?
Okay, I like the hundreds of thousands. I landed in Miami.
Uh-huh.
I was already all educated. Had my PhD, everything, which I always told my students here at PSU that they, with me, they got a great bargain because they didn't have to pay any taxes to educate me. and then Miami was not really the place to be. It was let me say, something for tourists and so on. So then I came up north.
Well, actually, there was still a lot of swampland around there at the time. The city of Hialeah really didn't exist. It wasn't as big as nearly as what it is today.
Let me tell you with some pride, when we came, the Cubans came to my, and you know what, the Cubans that came to the United States early were the cream of the middle class.
Mm-hmm.
When I was there, I was surprised. I hate to offend, Miamians, but that was a hole in the sand. And then the Cuban immigration into Miami built up what the city is today and the region is today.
Yeah, well, I've spent...
I wanted to go up north, and I couldn't speak English. I don't know if I still can. But I said, I cannot lecture, I cannot do anything until I learn English. I learned English and came up. And I found my niche, my place here in New Hampshire.
Wow. The book is Cuba, 1952 to 1959, The True Story of Castro's Rise to Power. I want to go back and talk a couple of things in the book and about the Cuban history.
Yeah.
But let's talk about what is happening tomorrow. You're having a talk and a book signing.
Correct. Correct. That would be at the library at PSU at 3 o'clock, and of course there'll be a book signing and so on. That is the official unveiling of a book. But then later, November 20th, I have to go to Columbia University, and then there will be unveiled there for the general public and so on.
Mm.
And you know what happened? This is a fascinating thing. I believe there is another dimension, you know, beyond the world that we live. We prepare this the function tomorrow at 3 o'clock, and then suddenly, on November 3rd, suddenly I realized that it was the anniversary of the elections of November the 3rd of 1958.
I'm looking at it right here in my story. Oh, my gosh, yes.
So I said, you know, my dad must be around the whole affair. I hope so, because that is the truth. The truth, Brian, the truth always comes to the surface, but never for the benefit of the people who suffer through it.
Well, now, what was your father's name?
Carlos.
Carlos Sterling.
Marquez Sterling.
Marquez Sterling, okay.
It goes way back to the 19th century, a combination of Scottish and Spanish.
So I wanted to go back to the election that was stolen by Batista. Your father had won. It was November 3rd, 1958.
Yeah.
How did Batista steal the election?
Well, more and more we are beginning to get the picture. They printed double set of ballots. They printed ballots when they ordered the paper to print the ballots. They ordered twice the amount of people registered to vote and twice the amount of ink. So they had two sets of ballots prepared. And by, let's say, by 5 o'clock that evening, when the polls closed, they took the real ballots and then put the ones that they had prepared beforehand. But what it is not really known yet, and I have really dug everywhere, it appears that perhaps the army stole the elections behind the back of Batista himself, because Batista had promised the elections would be honest, completely honest. My father had assurance from his cabinet members, and in the cabinet, the prime minister was my father's old school mate. So suddenly something happened that still remains as a mystery. But
the elections were actually supposed to be held in June originally, but they got pushed back to November.
Yes, indeed. They were postponed because of the revolutionary attacks and so on. They were postponed for November. And Fidel Castro fought tooth and nail for those elections not to be held. And finally, when the elections were held and they announced that the Batista candidate had won, Fidel Castro celebrated, and he told the Argentinian ambassador that had the victory been recognized, my father's victory, he wouldn't be the big guy in Cuba. So you can see that this idea of only two positions, Castro and Batista, is totally untrue.
How about that? Well, again, invite people to check out the library at Plymouth State University tomorrow, 3 p.m. for the book talk as well as the signing of Professor of History Emeritus Manuel Marquez Sterling.
Brian, can I make a commercial?
Yes, go right on ahead.
Okay, the book is selling at Amazon.com.
Good. I was going to get to that eventually, because you also have a website too, right?
Yes, we do.
That's Cuba 1952-1959.blogspot.com?
Correct. And it's connected to the book. When you buy the book, you can go to the blog, and then you see there the pictures and illustrations and so on. It's all connected to the book.
Wow. Well, this is terrific. I did not know that we had such a rich history right in our own backyard. I'm glad you came out with this book, as your father was the one who won the elections in 1958, but was stolen. And then, you know, imagine if the election was actually fair, Cuba would be a whole different world today,
absolutely.
Wouldn't it?
Absolutely. I tell you, when you shake the woods in New Hampshire, you'll be amazed the people that come out.
One last question before I let you go. And you know, you mentioned you came here in 1969. Your family was victims of political persecution.
Absolutely.
What exactly did happen?
Well, you know, we were one of the few that opposed Batista and Castro at the same time. So when Castro won, you know, we were persona non grata. So they persecuted my dad. My whole family began to leave the country. And then I think I was the last one of the inner circle of my family that came to the USA.
All right. Well, very good, Dr. Sterling. It is a great pleasure talking to you. Good luck with your book.
Okay.
And, you know, we'll remind people again where they can get your book. Thank
okay.
you very much.
Okay.
All righty. Have a
Thank
great
you,
day.
Brian.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And, again, you can show up tomorrow at the Lamson Library and Learning Commons at Plymouth State University tomorrow, 3 p.m., for Dr. Marquez Sterling's book, Cuba 1952 to 1959, The True Story of Castro's Rise to Power. And what an interesting history lesson there, huh? I'll link to that on my website, briantilton.com, tonight.